There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Can I just ask?
Shut up, Evan.
I'm curious.
Could you shut up, Evan?
One thing I was thinking about.
Shut up, Evan.
So there are some rumors out there.
Evan, shut up!
Is it okay if I just ask?
Shut up, Evan.
Okay, but can I just.
Shut up, Evan.
I didn't even say anything. Okay, so here's the deal. We are technically on hiatus right now from Shut Up, Evan. We are between seasons 4 and seasons 5. Now, mind you, these seasons are arbitrary in nature, besides the fact that I like referring to the podcast in a seasonal structure, but this to say, we are currently not producing new episodes of the podcast, or rather, we weren't. But occasionally, an opportunity comes your way so seismic in nature that you kind of have to throw out the playbook, and that's what this was. This being a sit-down interview with Paul Mescal and Andrew Scott in promotion of their new film, All of Us Strangers. Now, I had finished what was a pretty crazy week in LA 2 weeks ago. I hosted my chaos dinner. For more on that, you can check out my newsletter where I sort of did a little bit of a behind the scenes look at the dinner. I finish my dinner. I'm like, I have accomplished all that I can on this trip. And then I get a text message from my friend Barry at Searchlight Pictures asking if I would like to sit down with Paul and Andrew. I need not tell you that the answer was a resounding yes, and a quick one at that. So moved flights around, did everything I needed to do, figured out what look I wanted to wear, the scent, how I wanted to part my hair, and then I showed up at the London Hotel and sat down with Paul and Andrew. And so that is what you are going to listen to right now. It is not a standard episode of Shut Up, Evan, in that there is no standard intro. This is a 15-minute interview as opposed to a 60-minute, and we are strictly focused on the film, All of Us Strangers, as opposed to doing, a more wide-ranging talk. But I can comfortably and optimistically, even confidently, say that hopefully this is the beginning of two future sit-downs, one with Paul independently, one with Andrew independently. You know what? I'm going to say hopefully more than one, let's be honest, but I'm hoping that we will have them on the podcast in a more standardized form. But for now, please enjoy this short but sweet and very important, if I may say, interview with Paul and Andrew. It was the very first interview that they ever did together as a pair. I'm honored to be given that time slot, honored to exist in a world in which I can get exclusives for Shut Up, Evan, and no longer having to pitch them out to outlets. We are the outlet. Shut Up, Evan is the outlet. So I'm very, very thankful. I cannot encourage people enough to go see this film. It's been a terrific year for LGBTQ plus films. I mean, thinking about Saltburn and Bottoms and Passages and Red, White, and Royal Blue, and the list goes on, and this is certainly up there in the canon, not just of great queer films this year, but of great films this year. If you are not already a fan of director Andrew Haig, I highly recommend checking out his past work, most notably his film Weekend, which is among my favorites. So if you haven't already, we have an interview with Andrew Haig on the Substack from several weeks ago. That is out there. I will link to it. And if you are listening to this right now and saying, I'm loving this, but I want to visualize Paul and Andrew, you can head on over to the Substack where the video version of this interview lives, and all future videos of Shut Up, Evan, the podcast, will live over there. That's in the future. That's thinking too far down the line. I don't have the brain capacity for that at the moment. What I do have the capacity for is introing this interview, which I think I've already done enough. But, you know, one last time, please give it up for Paul Mescal and Andrew Scott.
Shut up, Evan. We had a strike for some period of time. It looked like we maybe weren't going to be able to promote this film. Fortunately, we are. And now here we are together. What is that like to suddenly be able to talk about this thing that I'm sure is pressurized over time not being able to talk about?
It's a massive relief. Yeah. And like, yeah, really exciting.
Yeah. Because we did think that we may not be able to talk about it, and because we both love the film so much.
Yeah.
It's, it just seemed like a great shame not to be able to, you know, get out in front of it.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's brilliant.
You know, there's what this film is about, right? You know, like on paper, but then there's like what this film is really about.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering for you both, when you first read the script, conversations you had with Andrew, what do you feel like this film is really trying to speak about on a higher level?
You go first. We'll get better at this.
I think it's about love. I mean, it's a love story. It's there's two different forms of love in the movie, and I think it's about familial love, and I think it's about romantic love. And I, in a way, I suppose it's about grief. I think the thing that's been really surprising for us is that, I don't know, not that we thought it was just going to appeal to queer audiences, but what seems to be emerging is just how it affects everybody, because everybody has a parent or everybody has a child or a relationship with parenthood, and everybody has some degree of interest in romantic love. So it just seems to touch loads of people, and people are just genuinely, cellularly moved by the show, you know, by the things.
I think it's also a study in loneliness as well, and how those two things kind of get in the way of each other, loneliness and love. But ultimately, it's a study in how brave you need to be to really invest in the idea of love. Ooh. And how on the surface it looks like something that is easy, but I think with Adam and Harry, you see them really work towards finding each other. And I think it's a incredibly brave act to love somebody.
Andrew mentioned that the two of you were fans of one another before, enjoyed each other's works. And so I'm wondering what it's like to then be in a scene with someone who you've admired in the past for their acting.
Disappointing.
Immensely disappointing.
That's it.
No, we did a little skit.
Yeah.
It was a sort of a Normal People Fleabag mashup where the priest from Fleabag took
Carl and Marianne's
confession, right?
Yeah.
And
what was the song we sang?
It was Tracy Chapman.
Tracy Chapman. Yeah.
So we'd done a little bit of work together, and we hung out a little bit before that.
To say that I was immensely excited at the prospect of working with Andrew is like an understatement, and I was nervous because it's like I've watched for so long and been such a great admirer to then suddenly when the cameras turn over and you're in a little bubble together, it's an immensely exciting experience and one that I hold very, very dearly.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Well, it's so intimate. What we were required to do is really, really intimate.
There's a lot of intimacy.
Yeah, there's a lot of intimacy.
I enjoyed it. But talk to me about that, though, because I'm really fascinated by the idea of chemistry, if it can exist, if it can be created, if it can be honed, if it can be harnessed. And I'm wondering how you go into a process like this when you're working on a film that relies on you having chemistry. That's a tall order to then have to go and fabricate something that needs to sort of be integral. Yeah.
It's such a fascinating. Yeah. Chemistry. I'm exactly like you. I find it so fascinating. But what is it? And I think there's two things. It definitely helps if you get on with somebody, because it just means that you skip all that stuff. You do. And if you have to do stuff where you do feel really vulnerable, you're sitting there with no clothes on. It's 6:30 in the morning. There's lots of people, you know,
banging around.
In a different way,
Very different.
And so, you know, really, but also, I have heard of people who work together who can't bear each other, and their chemistry on screen is really, really fine. So, actually, in a way, the challenge is to produce a different type of chemistry than the type of chemistry that me and Paul have, because we can have our very own specific chemistry as two people. But then Adam and Harry's chemistry is really very, very different, and that's where, you know, it just requires some skill.
Some acting.
And so that's where the real work is, and to find out what way they might be with each other, and how they touch each other, and how they'd communicate with each other, and how they look with each other. And it's something that Paul was saying the other night, I think it was so true, about when you watch the film. I was really taken. We watched it for the first time with an audience the other night, and we first saw the movie together in a screening room. just the two of us, like a tiny little screening room. And after it was over, you were like, did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, we have no clue because you're so
you're
invested
too close
in it.
To it. Yeah.
We're too close. And then we went to have lunch. It was sort of weird. And then we separately went with people that we love and are, you know, people that we work with.
No, I remember calling you. I saw it for the second time before you'd seen it for the second time. And I came straight out of the screening room and I was like, Andrew, it's really fucking good.
It's really good. You're really good at it.
But I think it is one of those films that, like, I think when we were shooting it, I was acutely aware of how special it felt to make it. And I think when you encounter it, like viewing it for the first time, it's a horrible pressure. You're like, God, I hope the special feeling that I had making it translates. So you end up just like white knuckling it through the film for the first time.
And you're looking at your big old face and you're, you know, you just, not your, not your...
My big old
your face. Your face is normal size. But it's a fine, regular sized face.
The thing that I think watching it last week with an audience, the thing that when we were talking about the intimacy required in making it, it's like on the surface you might think like the sex scenes or the like, all of those things are kind of obvious markers, but there was moments in it that I think are probably the most illicit in the film is like stuff that I've no recollection of doing is like how we looked at each other in those moments, because that's a true marker, I think, of not me and Andrew's chemistry, but the work that I think we put into Harry and Adam's chemistry. And it's quite frightening when you see it in the film from, like, I imagine Paul and Andrew's perspective. It's like, I have no recollection of looking at you like I wanted to rip the clothes off.
What do you mean you don't
remember? No, I don't remember.
But it also feels so exposing because when watching it with, like, 350 people as we did the other evening, I just felt so exposed. I felt like, wow, because there's stuff, and I think that's a good sign that you're, you know, in it, so to speak, as an actor, is that we go, God, I don't really remember it. And you really do look at someone with such love. So it's just it feels like it's a really tender film, and it feels like a really tactile film. Mm-hmm. There's so much physical touch in it.
Like
the way you do when you're a kid and you know, you have a relationship with your parents' physicality. And of course, our side of the stuff was very physical as well. And it just, I think that's a real part of the film. It feels like, it feels the smell and the taste and the feeling is very alive.
I was really struck by the audience's reactions in certain moments to the film. The one that comes to mind is like Harry's expression when he's first in the door frame and kind of lingering and looking longingly at Adam. And it's one of those moments where I read it as being incredibly hot. The audience started giggling. And I'm just wondering what you make of that, because I don't think the intention of that moment is to be funny.
It's uncomfortable.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's uncomfortable because I think when an audience giggles like that, it's a mark of them recognizing something.
Yeah.
And whether it's literal, I think they're laughing maybe in that moment at the fact that they feel uncomfortable and they don't know why. Because I think that moment is loaded with the obvious thing of like sex, but it is also, there's a kind of uneasy desperation in Harry to try and get into your flat.
Get into your pants.
Into your pants. But it is that, and I think it's uneasy kind of giggling. The audience isn't really sure what the footing of the film is. It's really satisfying to be involved in that.
Yeah, it feels like a very theatrical film in a sense, because there's no like glow around Claire and Jamie to sort of signify that they're, you know, I think that requires a lot of work from the audience, and I think audience like to work a little harder, you know. Mm-hmm. People just have varying ideas about who Harry is and who's alive and who might be.
It didn't occur to me, I think it was 2 weeks later, when I realized that elevator was the final moment where we see Harry alive. And then I thought I'd had a giant aha moment, and I told my friend, and he was like,
And he was like,
And I was like, oh, okay. I thought I was a cinema historian in this moment, just like unpacking it, and that was not the case. Zooming out a bit, you two are people that fans are super fans of. I've done Boots on the Ground reporting on this, and I can confirm. Who do you two super fan over?
Oh, let's say that louder.
It's maybe more singers or even sports people. Because actors are your tribe, I don't know, you sort of admire them, but maybe you're not like, oh my God. I remember Billie Jean King, the tennis player. I did a play on Broadway.
And I was not expecting that
one. That wasn't in the bingo card, for sure.
Billie Jean King is like a legend. You know, she's like she's like a queer legend as well. But she's like just. But I remember I just couldn't believe, and she was actually, I think she might have been with Holly Hunter. it was a long time ago. I think Holly Hunter maybe was going to play Billie Jean King in a in a film maybe at one point. Or maybe they weren't. Maybe they were just hanging out. I don't know. But they came to the dressing room and I was like, I just couldn't believe that Billie Jean King was there. Because I think it's just that sort of skill that you think, I have absolutely no idea how you do that. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go with Billie Jean King.
Great, I love that. I mean, I know you love Claro.
Claro, Mitski.
Mitski, yeah.
I think it's exactly what you're saying. It's like a different discipline moves me emotionally, but I have no idea how they do it.
Yeah.
And then you've got like the old style, like movie stars. Like I remember bumping it, like meeting Harrison Ford, and I was like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, because it's just a face that you
just like. Feel
and also,
like
maybe
you
have a, it's a face that you've seen blown up, you know, 10 times its size, and to see somebody. It's a different experience.
I grew up as a queer person, and the landscape of queer cinema was so different than today. And I've been thinking about it, about all of the queer cinema that's come out this year alone. Bottoms, for instance. And then I think about this film. And then I think about Red, White, and Royal Blue. Queer films are no longer a genre. They are just populating within
genres. Different genres.
Yeah. I'm just wondering from both of your perspectives, what is that like to witness?
Oh, to me, it's an absolute miracle. Yeah. That when I was growing up, the idea of being in a film like this, or even being able to watch a film like this, you know, outwardly, but is just completely miraculous. But what's so wonderful about it is that I've been in a couple of gay films over the years. but there was always that sort of question about marketing. How do you market the film? And what I love about this film is that in the trailer or in all the featurettes or whatever it is, our relationship is front and center, and so that little idea that like, you can have a gay storyline in the movie, but how do we couch it so that maybe how do we trick the audience into believing that it's not gay?
Yes.
Which I always thought was just completely preposterous. Yeah. So the idea that it's there and that people are actually interested in seeing that side of the film is it's not only wonderful, it also makes sense because there is an audience. Of course there is an audience. And not just queer audiences, actually. It's just about visibility. That's just all it is.
The themes of this film are totally universal, regardless of sexuality. And like Bottoms is a great example of that. Like it did so well at the box office, and it's an out-and-out comedy, and it's incredibly refreshing and exciting to see.
Yeah. Very, very good. Thank you both so much, and congratulations. Right.
Thank you.
This film
so
is truly incredible.
Thank you so much.
Very much.
Shut Up, Evan is produced by me, Evan Ross Katz, with audio editing by Sophia Asmuth and social media by Griffin Dunn. Shout out to our Patreon subscribers for their financial support, and thank you to you all, the listeners, for helping us keep the lights on.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.